Hello and welcome to this week's Irish Wolves podcast. My name is Tony Lawler and well, what a day it turned out to be last Saturday. Villa Park, flying over, loads of Villa fans on the plane, 2-0 down thinking, oh no, it's going to be a nightmare trip home, and then a wonderful comeback in the last 10 minutes. So today I'm going to discuss with Mick McQuillan, Gary Cotter and Tony Cullen, with James Kilcoyne joining in as well, talking about the game and the day itself and how the game went and how we were so thrilled at the end of it all. I hope you enjoy it. What happened to you, Gary? Light's gone out. The Pericles. Out of darkness cometh light. Is that what they say? Oh, I had no sign of Mick yet. I'm a bit surprised at that.
How's he keeping since?
Great. He reckons, he reckoned he'd be okay. He'd be fit for Saturday.
He's bringing his boots and all.
He said he'll be off most of the tablets or whatever by then. So he's confident enough he'll make it. Yeah, well, hope the other lad, Johnny, that has one of the tickets, local fella. Hey, Tony.
Tony, how are you?
I was talking to him the other day and I was saying to myself, if the Leeds game is half as good as Saturday's game, it'll be value for money.
Well, 15 minutes of it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't swap it for the world.
No, definitely not. It was great to be there. And I'll keep saying that until the other fella comes along.
Then don't mention the war type of thing then.
Yeah, I know. I'll have to get him in. I'll just say we'll start with the people that didn't manage to get to the game first. You probably saw in the emails, I was in touch with James. I was hoping if James, you know the way they were talking about, Pat Brown even said there were a few Villa lads were going to be watching the game in the pub, you know? And gone by Facebook, it looked like, there was a few words been exchanged afterwards, you know? I'd say it was good crack over there. So just, you know, after the meeting last week to see what the atmosphere was actually like in the pub.
I remember later on in the evening Mick was having a heated debate with a Villa fan, a young fella. I think he was a cousin of James.
Oh yeah, James had mentioned him. Yeah.
Yeah, and we were having a discussion with a young fella, and when Mick was on about our friend Mr. Grealish, he was dismissing Mick and everything, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he might have been watching the game with James.
You've gone now, Tony. You mentioned the name because when we did the preview that we did up, but myself and Mick, when we were talking about Villa, we talked about Jack Grealish, but we actually never mentioned his name in it, that fella, or it was, I can't remember what words we were using, but we never actually mentioned his name, and it was deliberate.
I remember we were having a chat with that guy later on that night.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name now, but yeah, he was a relative of James's cousin or second cousin or something.
Anyway, good evening, Mick.
James's cousin, I was, yeah.
Yeah. No, I was going to start just because we had a civilised flight at, 22:11 on Saturday morning, and full of 40, 50 Villa fans in the air, at the gate, and then gone onto the flight. So they were all kind of quiet, but what would you say their mood was? What? Confidence, Gary?
I would have said they were quietly confident, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Tony, there was I got there a bit early, right? And in the same gate before us, there was a flight to Manchester.
Yeah.
There was a blast of Villa fans on that as well.
Yeah.
That would have been cutting it tight, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But I would have said initially I thought maybe 20, 25 Villa fans, but by the time all the jackets started coming off and one thing and another, I would say safely 50, at least 50, I would have said, Villa fans on both legs of the flight.
Yeah. So everything went smoothly anyway with the flight. We were over, what was it, half 11 when we landed.
Yeah, that was an interesting story, Tony. Remember, I was talking to Des. Remember we met Des?
That's what I'm going to say next. We met Des coming from Milton Keynes on the train, yeah.
But he said to me that, he said Tony just told me your flight wasn't until 22:11. I said, yeah, that was right. So it took off on time. And he said, and you're here now sitting on the train to Birmingham, you know, from the airport to Birmingham, and it's only 5 to 12 or something like that.
Yeah,
I said, geez, that's unbelievable. He said, my brother's travelling up from Bournemouth on the train, and it's 5 hours.
We were nearly gone home at that stage.
Yeah. So, it just goes to show, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny.
That was an interesting one.
But anyway, compliments to Des. He steered us towards the Purity Bar anywhere. We had a grub and a couple of pints. And that was a nice place, actually. Do you think, Tom?
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Food was good. Service was a bit slow, but I think that was your chicken, Tony.
half a chicken.
Pretty. But it was nice. Yeah, it was good. And they served us, which was a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, in fairness, after that, they took us to the Purity was very good, first of all. Yeah, and after that, the lads suggested the post office vaults, and I thought that was a kind of a classic. You'd definitely want to call in there again, wouldn't you? Were you never there before, Gary? No. I think I was. I'd say I was, but
I think you were, Gary. You and me, we were on the sauce a bit, I think.
Yeah. It sounds like it anyway.
It was a vague recollection, all right. But I must say, good pub there. And next time I'll remember it, because, as you know, I wasn't drinking at all.
It sounds like you were lost in the post, Gary. we had a good time there, actually. Then because it's so close to the station, I don't know how I never came across that pub before. Yeah, should we get taxi down to the ground? We were at the ground about, what, 2:30, was it?
Yeah, it was close enough to kick off time, like, you know, it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're nice and early. And so the game itself, like, we actually had, I think it was a bit like Brentford game, we had a decent start, I thought. We had a couple of chances, I think. Wang had a chance. What do you think of the early first 20 minutes, Gary?
Just, first of all, John, when we walked into the, you know, once we got through the queues and all that, and we came from underneath the stand up into the crowd, I thought the atmosphere was electric, like, at that point. There was a real slagging match going on, like, you know, mind the gap, and everything was going on, and it was full belt, just as you know, when you can imagine 20 minutes before the kickoff, it was I thought that was electric at that point, you know. So then the game got off to a quiet enough start. It was 50-50, I would have thought, like, without anyone really causing the other a problem. The Wang efforts and Danny Ings, the save by Saar.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Traore's, you know, long winding run shot, you know, shot and target, but the keeper saved it.
Yeah.
You know, it kept the interest anyway, that was for sure.
Yeah. Mick, how did it come across on telly, since how you weren't at the game?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I actually didn't watch it on television, first of all.
Ah, come on. Where did you watch it? On the radio?
I listened to her on radio. I'll tell you why, because as it turned out, when you have these weekends off, you sort of have to pick up your points. It was my granddaughter's birth, 6th birthday, and of course, her father being a United fan, that was on the television. Well, I was listening to the Wolves match on the radio.
Yeah.
And the beauty was that late in the match, as United began to fall apart, Wolves were beginning to pick them up. But I watched it later on. I knew I had it recorded, the full match later on.
Yeah.
Which no advertising, nothing in it. I'll be honest with you, I thought it was a very good game. I certainly don't understand where people were saying it was a ball, we were shit for 80 minutes. It was a typical derby match. Both of them were sounding one another out and having a pop here or there. And I thought tactically it was very, very good. And, you know, when Neves went down there injured, you know, Bruno was over getting out the little board. He was getting on the set, one or two players, to switch it a little bit. And I thought we were the better team. I thought we looked the more polished team. But we did make mistakes.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the... You know, in the first half. And I must say, a man, Lee Henry, was doing the co-commentary. And I must say, he was very, very good. That was the first half. And the second half, I thought, again, we started the best, better than the two sides. And then we were a little slow to get started, but I thought we knocked it around. But then we get away that early goal.
Yeah.
And then we, Jesus, as we played ourselves back into it, and then Wang then made an absolute mess of it. Dog's dinner.
Oh, well, yes. Like, don't say dogs and Wang in the same sentence, will you, for God's sake? We end up in trouble again.
No, it was just that, if you look at the first goal, so he's got skin, but at the same time, the two centre-backs should have cut it out. I won that ball, Cody, and that. But the three players in particular, those three players, but they're so pivotal the whole game.
Yeah.
Because they were in the box for everything that was happening, box later on in the game, you know. So
yeah.
I thought it was a cracking game to watch, you know.
Yeah, it seemed to for the first goal, it seemed to as if Cody almost turned around hoping Kilman was behind him.
Yeah.
And he just got in. Ings seemed to stretch to get his head to the ball. But it happened so quick. Tony, what do you think of the first couple of goals from them, and kind of it kind of opened the game up.
Yeah, I watched the second half again on TV on Saturday when I got home. The first half was enjoyable, but it was scrappy. I mean, the Wolves fans are getting really frustrated about some of the kind of passes that we were leaving short.
Yeah.
And misplaced passes, and you know, it just looked like we were giving the ball away a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Certainly, we weren't anywhere near as good as we were against Tottenham or Man United in the first half.
Yeah.
It was just a very frustrating first half. Second half, I think we started off good, as Mick said, but we just kind of, the Ings goal, I was watching it again, he kind of ghosted in. He was kind of behind in line with our defenders, and then he kind of ghosted out a little bit.
Yeah.
And got in before, but he missed a good chance at the first half, Danny Ings. I mean, normally he gets through like that, he puts it away.
Yeah.
Like, it was a good save by our keeper.
Yeah.
The second goal, dog's dinner is right. The guy just—I don't know who he was passing it to. I watched it again on the TV, and I couldn't see who he was trying to pass it to.
Yeah.
He left it short. A Scottish fella, you know, got in on two stabs, and it went in. So
yeah.
It was a bad deflection, but deflections are deflections. We take those.
Yeah, Gary, what did you think of it up from the first half and up to the after the Villa two goals?
Well, just to say, like an old phrase of Mick Jesus, must have been watching a different game to me. Because I'd be one of the crowd that thought we were shite for 75 minutes. I'd be saying that, like, I thought it was very much an after international weekend performance. I thought we were lethargic. I thought there was no energy. There was no pressing when we hadn't got it. And there was no intensity when we did have it. I agree, you know, there was an element of teasing one another out.
Yeah.
But there was no need to be fucking teasing them out. They accept that they were pretty poor as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of scrappy missed passes. I mean, I don't agree with... Remember the incident we had with the guy behind us going absolutely slating Adama?
And Marcel as well, I think, was the other. And the thing about him was he used the word shit, I don't know how many times, but at the whole first half and early in the second half... And what put the icing on the shit for me was when he said, you know, people started having a go. Anyone that turned around to say anything to him, he started having an argument with them. And Mick, you were sorely missed for that, Mick. But he turned around at one stage to someone and he said, one, it's my opinion. And then he turns around with a classic, we're shit. I'm not supporting us when we're shit. I'll only support us when we're playing good. And I kind of says to myself, How do you want to shoot yourself in every fucking foot?
A sign of the man himself, like, you know.
Yeah.
But the one guy that did speak up was really speaking on behalf of about 20 of us, because, I mean, you know, I wouldn't entertain someone like him, but I ain't going to get into an argument because there's no backing down in a case like that.
No.
Right? Okay, it didn't come to blows, but it was a serious... But the reality is, right, with Adama, yes, he is frustrating.
Yeah.
He is frustrating at times. But like that run he did, right? There's very few players in the world. Maradona did it. Messi can do it. To pick up the ball inside your own half, beat five people and get a shot on target. Okay, that's the difference between, say, Messi and Maradona and him. He can do that, but he can't finish. Yeah. Right? That's what it looked like. But when you saw what he did for the second and third goals, the role he played in the second and third goals was
The goalie went the wrong way, Gary. The goalie actually dived
in the fourth. It hit his foot.
It actually hit his foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But like I thought, to be honest with you, Adama this year has become to me a more complete player. Now, he's not the full package anywhere near it. But like I thought, he had probably one of his better games for us at the weekend. Like he was very instrumental with that chip. That got us in that chip into the box
for the second one,
and he frightened the shit out of them when he made that run.
Yeah.
And you could see with Villa, when I was looking at the television, they were actually afraid of him.
Yeah.
Afraid of him taking those runs up. And he can cause all sorts of mayhem with the opposition. But like, I'll go back to you. We were at the first three games and we were hammered in the three teams and we lost the fucking three of them.
Yeah.
Got a bit more cautious and he's put more fellas in there, as I said, that will give the physical stuff. They ain't the best passers, but they certainly do a job. And I thought that the signs were on the wall for Villa after 1 hour. They were 2-0 up when Mings got booked for time wasting.
Yeah.
That was a red rag to the ball. And at that stage, even though they were 2-0 up, and your man Henry has said it a few times, Wolves were always capable, if they got one back, they were capable of getting two.
Yeah.
Because Villa didn't look secure whatsoever. Yeah. He had the players to punish them.
Yeah.
And that's the way I seen it going. And then as the game went on, fair juice to, it was time, I suppose, from Bruno Lage's thinking was, I reckon he thought, we've taken the best they have to offer.
Yeah.
Now it's time for us to have a go at them. And when he brought on Pedance and he brought on Silva, the game completely changed because we had fellas on the park who could really start up and they started to get itchy. And then typical what can happen to Molyneux, the crowd got fucking itchy too. And their home crowd started to get worried.
Yeah.
And that all, to me, set the thing in motion. And in fairness, I mentioned the three boys early on at the back. But boy, Jesus, they were in the Villa box so many times.
Yeah.
Later on, Cody, Soyuz. That was a brilliant goal. Now, it was a fantastic pass by Neves.
Neves to Pedence,
He got one about a minute before that with a corner as well. And it just didn't reach the man. But he done it again, and he got Pedance in. And there's one thing Pedance is, he's a fabulous crosser of the ball.
Yeah.
And that was a brilliant goal.
Yeah.
And once we got that, they were in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's the way it pinned out. And then
the crowd were really quiet after we got that first goal. We could feel the tension.
There was still a bit of life left in them, but you could see, I mean, if you look at the last time we played them at Molyneux, that we were there, and we were 2-0 up and we had the game sewn up and they got a goal. I think it was only 2 minutes from the end they got a goal and Molyneux changed completely. So, but Villa Park, because there was so much, there were 10 minutes left, I think they were gone very edgy when we got the goal back. And I mean, as you say, like, just to have Slice, Cody, even the first half, Cody nearly got on the end of a corner, I think. And so obviously Bruno's decided he wants all the centre-backs up there for corners. Like, we got the first goal, their crowd got a bit edgy. We didn't exactly take off, but everyone kind of felt, I think, Gary, I don't know whether you'd agree, everyone kind of, there was a feeling that we might get something out of the game, having looked like we weren't going to get anything.
Yeah, I thought it was a welcome for the goal, like, but it was a guarded welcome because you didn't want to feel as like, hang on, we could do something here. It had been quite disappointing, and to get that far, it did feel a bit like 10 minutes left. It felt like a bit of a consolation.
Yeah.
It's football. There's still a sneaking feeling that you could get something, but you didn't want to think like that because of all the people to be losing to. But like, it was like, I would say hands down again, Bruno got it absolutely spot on. Everyone was baying for Jimenez, and it was kind of, they know, I mean, Jimenez knew and Bruno knew whether he had 10 minutes in him. And that's about all he had in him.
Yeah.
And he came on with 10 minutes to go. But what he did was he went from the 3-5-2, he took Moutinho and Marcel off, he brought Pedence and Silva on, went from 3-4 to 3-4-3, and he just totally switched the game.
Yeah.
Now, the substitutions that Dean Smith had made probably helped a bit towards that as well.
Yeah.
Right? But, I think Bruno has to get applauded for what he did there.
Yeah,
but Gary, it goes back to what I said. Was saying earlier on, he had his team out there to be in that game with 10 or 15 minutes to go. The fact we were 2 down at that stage, and he threw on the firepower, and he knew Villa were rocking. When I was watching there, and even listening to on the radio, you know, the commentators were saying with 20 minutes to go, if Wolves get one back here, you know, Villa were in trouble. You know, that's the way it's here. And looking at back on television, that they were never secure.
Yeah.
And I go back to what happened with a half an hour to go when Mings got booked for time wasting.
Yeah.
That told you everything. And then the other thing too, which we were saying there a couple of weeks ago, our lads go for fucking 90 minutes. And it was, again, Brentford, that lads were cramping up. And you see, even when he scored, our lads were out on their feet, but they give it everything. for the 90 and 95 minutes. Yeah. Other teams are not able to go the full distance and that, and bringing those lads on. And you're right there, Gary. Like he didn't bring on the thing. I think it was 2 minutes from the end of normal time. But the young lad had done very, very well when he came on. But Dance did very, very well when he came on. And it gave us a breath of fresh air. And they weren't able to go with us at that stage. Yeah. They were out in their feet.
Yeah. Then, of course, then the equaliser with, 5 minutes to go, 4 or 5 minutes to go. That got everybody rocking at that stage. So it was probably, people say, a scrappy goal and everyone was wondering who scored it. But like, you could even see when the players came over to the corner, even at that stage, that they didn't think it was the game was, you know, that we were settling for a point. And
Kilman's unlucky now. I thought his header just hit the post and crossbar, I think, and it came out.
Yeah.
But it was Silva that knocked it to him.
Yeah.
And then it hit that bar. But in fairness too, so East was one side and Cody was the other. And they eventually got it over the fucking line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As you said earlier, there's 3 or 4 times during that game where both them players, so East and were very close to getting at the end of Nevis crosses from natural play in the game. And that was good. But I think the other thing which people, when we got the free kick, I don't know whether you noticed it, Dance was looking to take it and King had a chat with him, what you call it?
Nevis.
But it was interesting then what happened was, if you look back again, Jimenez went over and spoke to Nevis. And Nevis told Athanas and told him where he wanted him to go.
Yeah.
So when Jimenez went back towards the wall, he then had a chat with Suiz.
Yeah.
And he told him what Nevis wanted. Now, it was obvious then Nevis was going for the outside man to bring it back in.
Yeah.
And then what happened was then when he took the free, the thing got out of the way late, what you call him, Suiz.
Yeah.
And it hit the defender. But Jimenez was thought, he had gone in behind the wall. He was waiting for the ball to come back off the keeper. And obviously it's something they've worked on.
Yeah.
Now, it got a deflection. Listen to Villa and that. They're all sick about... McGinn would never have scored that goal, only if it took a wicked deflection off.
That's
fucking
right. Yeah.
Nevis.
Yeah.
Saar was already gone down to make the save.
Yeah.
But the other side. Mm. So that's what Bruno said himself. They had a deflection. We had the deflection. So he wasn't... There was bad blood there with Villa. They were sick.
We thought actually, from where we were, like you could see the ball, the free kick. You didn't know where the ball was going. It was just hitting the wall. And then you just see it come out the other side of the wall. Bump, but like in slow motion, you could just into the net. And we just, I think for about three or four seconds, we looked at each other. We said, have we won this game? And everyone just went mental. You were falling over seats. And the Villa, I tell you, I think at 2-2, a good lot of the seats started to empty. But yes, give it, you know, 3-2. I've never seen a place to empty so quick. And we were there till, 10 minutes after the game?
At least, I'd say.
Yeah. And singing, and the team came over. But I think we've been looking for a game, I don't know if you agree, we've been looking for a game that kind of shows a bit of a bond post-Nuno, like, you know, that this is Bruno's team. And like the players seemed to make a point of staying on the pitch for a good while afterwards, and it was almost as if this is it, you know, this is an error victory, Bruno's victory, you know, and that's kind of the impression I was getting from them. They were making the statement, you know.
Well, I think Tony was more to do with the fact that they have messed up a couple of times against Villa, and as they say, they know how important that fixture is to the fans, and that was you know, what was it, 2-0 on your big day out to 3-2 on our big day.
Yeah.
They can't beat it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I was claiming the credit at the time, Gary and Tony, you know, I was singing Mind the Gap, and there was nobody joining in, but eventually everybody sang it, so we claimed the credit for starting it.
Yeah.
No, it was really, but I think,
rendition of Mind the Gap, it was good. It was great, After our tour defeat, Tommy, one of Tommy's fellas that were at the match, and Tommy said to him, you see the boys in the airport, ask Mick, does he think they'll stay up this year, you know? So, why didn't back to Tommy, do you think you'll stay up, Tommy, you know? Oh, no, it was a great moral victory, and as I go back and I'll say it again, we're lucky that we have a bunch of lads that give it 100% for the 90 minutes, and they're never beaten. And you were talking about them fellas arguing in a half time. But if you go back, I think Tony, you were at the Southampton match 2 years ago. We were 2-2 at half time.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of lads in front of you had a few words with. And they were saying, well, shit, because your man was come on, the Irish fella went to go long and it scored a goal.
Yeah.
And I just said, they were giving a stick at half time. And I just said to them, listen, I said, I don't think there's much between two teams. They put away their chances. We didn't. And they got a bit fucking stroppy over it. But
yeah,
it proved, at the end of the match, we got back and we won the fucking game.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
I would always say that we're quite capable of doing that.
The other thing, I suppose, afterwards, when we did eventually get out of the ground, we went into Birmingham and met Steo and his band of merry mafia men. And we had a couple of points in, was it Combermore, was it?
Colmore.
And,
I don't think Colmore or Coolmore, but it's C-O-L-M-O-R.
Colmore, yeah.
Clonmore, yeah.
And that was good. That was quite enough. I enjoyed we walked back, I had my jacket under my arm, and Steele was standing outside. He said, the bouncer isn't great. He says, put your jacket on, because he mightn't like colours. And I have the jersey on, the one you have, Mick. I put my jacket in front of him, put my jacket on, zipping up, went inside, and I'm having the point. And I said, Steele, can I take this jacket off? Is this some fucking roasting? But just looked a bit farcical. He was able to walk past him, and he knew he was wearing colours anyway.
Yeah,
but then I suppose we got back to the airport. Again, all the Villa fans were there. But I was actually disappointed when we got on the plane that, you know, the heads went down. There wasn't a word. Well, Bill, Andy and Kevin hadn't much choice because they were sitting in the front and we hit them straight away. No appreciation or no kind of well done lads or, you know, not even a look or a word from anyone really, you know. So we just smiled.
You tell me you didn't get on that plane and start to, you know, 3-2 on a big day out. I would have fucking lashed them out.
They were absolutely sick. It was great. Just look, you had nobody to look at them. There was a guy sitting, I got in the middle seat, and there was a guy sitting beside me and in at the window, and he had headphones on, and he'd a Villa top on, and he was looking out the window the whole time, you know. Not a fucking, never turned around.
He was in space.
Yeah.
I was on a high driving down from the airport down to Limerick, like I'd say if the guard stopped me, they'd have been all right. They'd been trying to figure out what's happening to this guy, like. He's high as a kite, and no alcohol and no drugs. What the hell is he? What's he on?
It was
euphoria and adrenaline. Like at that point, geez, it was a couple of hours after, really, was it, when it felt good, like, you know. Yeah. And even since then, I'm on a high since we went 2-2.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and it was incredible.
One of those days to be a Wolves fan.
Yeah. Hopefully we've a few more. Anyway, Mick, just gonna looking ahead, I suppose, to Leeds on Saturday. Last Saturday, a lot of people would be thinking 3 points there for the taking, considering Leeds are having a very flat season.
Look, I don't go with all that shit. Leeds, it'll be a tough game again. I'd be happy 1-0, get over the line, be brilliant.
Yeah,
any away win is a brilliant win.
Yeah.
In this Premier League, and I don't take it. Leeds are, to me, haven't had the best of luck. You know what I mean? And I think it's only a matter of time. I don't think they'd be in trouble. But I still think there's nearly 40,000 at this game again.
Yeah. I didn't.
You know what I mean?
I didn't realise, but I just heard it there the weekend when they were, I think, on Match of the Day, and the highlights, they were saying, have Leeds got this Rafinha? There's about 4 or 5 players injured, I think, at the moment, have they?
Yeah, but they could be all back at the weekend.
Thanks.
The pigtail, he's out.
Who?
The guy, the English midfielder. What's his name? I forget his name.
Oh, yeah.
The other fella
is Rafinha, isn't it?
He's
good. He's very good, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, to be honest with you, not being there on Saturday, but I was listening to Match of the Soccer Saturday, you know, and it came up about the Villa Wolves game. All the talk was about Villa.
Yeah.
Nothing about Wolves and all about Martinez coming back and only playing a game. No, he said there wasn't a word about Jimenez.
Yeah.
But the impression was that Villa would win, but that's they just don't rate us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And look, long may they keep it up.
We're coming under
the radar, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was just going to ask, just before we finish the last couple of minutes, I suppose the December fixtures came out today. And in true logic for Sky, they moved the game at the end of fucking November into December and messed the field was up. Some tasty fixtures. And I think for once they've actually come out in our favour. With United have gone from New Year's Day to the 3rd of January. And Arsenal is on the 28th of December, I think so.
Yeah.
What do you think about all? Yes. A few flights booked already, yeah?
I'll be going to most of them anyway.
Yeah.
I have them all booked anyway, so that's got a reasonable fares, and some of them are a bit more expensive than others. But
yeah,
be honest with you, come the beginning of January, we might be in the mix.
Santi's going to be good to us, is he?
I, I think like, we have a side as good as any of them. They don't give up. They walk for the whole lot. And we're starting. We should have the first three games. We could have another 9 points in that board quite easily.
Yeah.
On that board,
anyway, you know.
And that has you right in the mix with them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Well, out of those first three games, if you only had 4 points out of them and add four onto, like, you're looking at 16 points. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you had that now, you know, like, you know, Jesus, like, it's you're 2 points off Liverpool, you know?
Yeah.
And like, as you said, James, that game at the weekend, like, I after watching and listening to it, we were the better side, I thought, throughout the game. We shot ourselves in the foot twice in that game on Saturday. But I must say, shows that they go for the 90 minutes or 90 odd minutes, and the manager keeps tweaking things, which is quite unusual.
Yeah,
he keeps changing them, which is quite unusual. But he's doing it, and he's having good success at the moment with it.
Right. Listen, we'll see you. I'm going right.
Right, okay.
Take care, lads.
All the best.
I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Join us again next week for some more interesting stories from fans and from former players. Until then, I wish you the best for the next week. And you can follow us on IrishWolves.org on our website or on Irish Wolves on Facebook. Thanks. See you next week.